Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Once, while Kartavirya Arjuna was wandering unengaged in a solitary forest and hunting, he approached the residence of Jamadagni. Purport. Kartavirya Arjuna had no business going to the residence of Jamadagni, but because he was puffed up by his extraordinary power, he went there and offended Parashurama. This was the prelude to his being killed by Parashurama for his offensive act. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna, I seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees, especially the senior devotees here. So basically we're hearing about Kartavirya Arjuna's dilemma. His dilemma is not exclusively his dilemma, but it's the dilemma of the conditioned souls. What is that dilemma? The dilemma is the pernicious effect that ensues from being unevolved in one's consciousness and having facility. That's basically the dilemma. When one is unevolved or unadvanced in Krishna consciousness and they gain some opulence, some facility, then a pernicious effect ensues from that. That pernicious effect, in one word, is pride. Pride is essentially an inflation of ego that takes place from a false notion of what is mine. That's basically what pride is, an inflation of ego that ensues from a false notion of what is mine. So this pernicious effect is taking place with Kartavirya Arjuna. It's totally natural. It is not like the tendency may be to demonize him. Of course, was Kartavirya Arjuna a demon? I don't know if he was exactly, it's not described that he's like an asura exactly. Of course, many of us may think of him as a demon. He's going against the Supreme Lord. But actually, this is not surprising. This is actually can take place to, this can happen to any conditioned soul. When one is not advanced in Krishna consciousness or unevolved spiritually, and they get facility, then this is the pernicious effect that takes place, pride. And now we're hearing about what ensues from that pride. So what we've heard so far is this pride has this power to eclipse the reality that the facility that you have is basically borrowed plumes. Have you heard this? You've heard this expression before by Srila Prabhupada, I'm sure. Borrowed plumes. The plume refers to the feathers of a peacock, which are very beautiful. And I think Prabhupada's way of describing it is a crow is not particularly very attractive. I don't think any of you feel very much appreciative of the beauty of a crow. Have you ever appreciated the beauty of a crow? Usually it's quite irritating in India. So the crow gets some borrowed plumes, the plumes of a peacock, and he puts the plumes on his head, the plumes of a peacock, and he thinks, oh, I have become very beautiful. I am now very attractive. And he forgets that these are actually just borrowed plumes. It is not his own beauty that is decorating him, but the beauty of another that is decorating him. So this is the first, what we've been hearing about so far, how pride works, is that it eclipses the reality that the opulences that one receives are actually borrowed plumes, either directly from the Supreme Lord or else from the material energy itself, which you can say is indirectly coming from the Supreme Lord. So one is not able to acknowledge that these are borrowed plumes. Again, pride, the inflation of ego that ensues from a false notion of what is mine. So not being able to acknowledge that, the tendency is to flaunt those borrowed plumes. I am very beautiful. Just like the crow. Now he has the borrowed plumes, and he may come into the society of other crows and say, look how beautiful I am, you know, and start dancing around with his borrowed plumes. And he thinks, I am better than the other crows. He's flaunting that beauty in front of the other crows. And the natural effect of such flaunting business is he generates animosity in the society of crows. Isn't it? So similarly, we have some power, some opulence, some facility, and we may be amongst a society of crows. I mean to say, persons with, let's say, not developed consciousness. And so we're flaunting those opulences, and the effect of that is generation of animosity in the environment. So that's what happened. This is one effect that happened. Kartavirya Arjuna is not able to acknowledge the borrowed plumes that he's received. He's flaunting that, and he's generated animosity and the environment, and particularly in the form of Ravana coming to attack him. And so then this animosity ensues, and there's fighting and so on. So this is the first effect. Of course, this is not really critical, the critical effect of pride, but it is something that does take place. You can see it probably, I imagine you've seen it, or you see it regularly, or at least you think you see it regularly, this animosity that comes up on account of this pride and the society of persons who may not be fully developed in Krishna consciousness. This is not a critical effect of pride, though. It is annoying, though. It is obnoxious, but it's not critical. So then Queen Kunti speaks of another effect that is, let's say, more critical. In that famous verse, Queen Kunti prays, Maishraya Shuta Shribir, Edamana Madapuman, Na Eva Arhati Abhidal Tumbai. So Queen Kunti speaks of a person becoming intoxicated by Janma Aishwarya Shutashri. Janma means an aristocratic birth. Aishwarya means wealth, opulence. This is considered the most contaminating of the four. Shri means beauty, and Shruta means learned, educated. So one, Edamana Madapuma means one becomes intoxicated by that. In other words, intoxicated by what? By pride. There are many examples of this. By Janma, we have Daksha is a really good example of having an aristocratic birth. And when he comes into the assembly, everyone stands to honor him. That's natural for an exalted person, except for Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is absorbed in samadhi on the Supreme Lord. So Daksha, how come you're not standing up to honor me? Everyone else was honoring him, but that wasn't sufficient. This one personality wasn't honoring him. So he was quite, why are you not standing up to honor me? And so he could not tolerate that. And that led to his downfall. With Aishwarya, we have this Nalakuvera Manigriva. They became greatly proud of their wealth. And so when Narada came before them, they were very apathetic. It wasn't of great concern for them. Shruta, I don't know an example for Shri. For Shruta, we have Romaharshana Sutta. Romaharshana Sutta was giving Bhagavad Katha, and Bhagavan comes before him. That's pretty auspicious. You're giving Bhagavad Katha, and Bhagavan comes before you. And everyone stood up to honor Lord Balaram, which is natural, being the Supreme Lord. Except Romaharshana Sutta was thinking, I'm giving class. Why I should stand up? So Balaram has some words for him, or not exactly words, kusha grass for him. Finished him off. So in this way, one becomes, Edamana Madapuma means one becomes intoxicated by pride. And what is the result of this intoxication? Na eva arhati abhidal tumbai. Queen Kunti says one becomes apathetic towards the Supreme Lord. Translated as, one is not able to chant the names of the Lord feelingly. That's how Prabhupada translates it. Some other acharyas have translated, you can't chant the name of the Lord whatsoever. Prabhupada says you cannot chant it feelingly. So you can imagine having facilities such as beauty or wealth, especially, is particularly contaminating, or an aristocratic birth or education. And one is finding security in those facilities. He finds his shelter there. So naturally, when he chants the name of the Lord, he cannot do so with great feeling. It is like you have a very large bank balance, and you said, you know, Jai Krishna, all glories to you. But your heart is really filling your shelter in the bank balance. The bank balance is going nice, and you know, Jai Bhagavan, you know, you're feeling great joy. You're not saying the name of the Lord with great feeling. But then suppose the government becoming particularly demoniac and they're stealing from your bank balance. At that time, you might be able to say with more feeling, Bhagavan, please. Hare Krishna, Krishna. You say with more feeling. So this is the effect of the intoxication of pride that comes from facility. One becomes apathetic toward the Supreme Lord. Apathy is something that is very difficult to get rid of, actually. But that is still not the most critical problem that ensues from pride. The most critical problem is being discussed here in Prabhupada's two-sentence purport. The most critical problem that ensues from pride is that an inability to recognize the greatness of great personalities. And from that inability, the tendency to offend them. So Lord Shiva, he mentions this point to his wife, Sati, when she wanted to go to the home of her father, after her father Daksha had offended her. So Lord Shiva mentions to her, Sitam Gunai Shadbir, He mentions six opulences, and then he says, Satam Guna Shaibra, these opulences are the ornaments of great souls. Satam. Satam means great personalities, those who are situated in sat or truth. These qualities are the ornaments of great souls, asatama itarai, but they have exactly the opposite effect for those who are not satam, or those who are asat, asatam, those who are not great personalities. So what is that opposite effect that Lord Shiva mentions? Shmito hatayam britamana dudrisha. He says, shmito hatayam, it causes them to lose all their good sense, their discriminatory power. Once intelligence becomes vitiated by the effect of the opulences in the form of pride, Brita mana durdrusha, and he becomes blinded by pride. Blind. So pride has this effect of causing blindness. What is that blindness? Stabda na pashanti hidama bhujasam. Stabda na pashanti means he becomes blind to the greatness of great personalities. And as a result of that blindness, he commits offense to them. So this is most critical. Because the first scenario I presented, that would take place even if you were a very humble devotee with opulences. Still somehow animosity is generated because the conditioned souls are competing on the material platform for sense gratification. So even if you are properly situated in your consciousness, you may encounter animosity nonetheless. So that's not most critical. Apathy toward the Supreme Lord is not most critical because it can be resolved by association with great souls. That's why that one is not the most critical. It's definitely problematic, one that we may experience from time to time in our chanting. In fact, one of the types of pramada or inattentive chanting is apathy. So it is a type of something that we do experience, but it is a dilemma that is easily resolved by the association of great personalities, at least according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So then, the most critical dilemma that arises from pride is the inability to recognize anyone as greater than yourself. And inability to recognize great personalities who are the only cause of our upliftment out of the cycle of birth and death. So this particular problem generated by pride is taking place with Kartavirya Arjuna. He's unable to appreciate the greatness of Jabandagni. And as such, he will offend him. As Prabhupada says here in the second sentence, this was the prelude to his being killed by Parashurama for his offensive act. So this is the prelude to the downfall of a devotee. His pride, but worse than pride is the inability to recognize the grace. So that is the prelude to destruction in bhakti. Many times devotees, especially nowadays because of recent history and so on, devotees often get a doubt if there are any sadhus on the planet. There's a lot of propaganda sometimes about, you know, Srila Prabhupada being, you know, the last pure devotee to walk the planet Earth. And there's a lot of misconception about this, in fact. And it's quite popular these days. So popular these days that people think it unnecessary to take shelter of great souls. No need for guru anymore. Just take shelter of the holy name. Everything is in the holy name. One devotee told me recently in Vrindavan that Vrindavan is guru. So I said, okay, that's convenient. Because Vrindavan doesn't give you any instructions, right? Okay, so Vrindavan's the guru. And I said, you probably think the name is the guru also. Yes, the name is the guru. I said, but that doesn't give us a conclusive understanding about the guru tattva. It's not just by saying that Vrindavan is guru, nam is guru, that the conclusion is I don't need an actual guru to surrender. That's not the conclusion. It is a fact. It is a reality that Vrindavan is guru. It is also a reality that nam is guru. But the Siddhanta isn't, I don't need a guru because of that. That doesn't logically follow. So I was discussing with this devotee. I said, all the great acharyas, including the Supreme Lord himself, is taking guru. Why are you not taking guru? Then who are you? Next to Lord Chaitanya, he is taking guru. Vyasadeva compiled the Vedas. He knows everything. He is accepting guru and Narada Muni. So anyway, the main problem that has ensued is that because of recent history, people have become doubtful about personalities in general. This doubt has arisen. Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, Vitaraga Bhaya Krodha Manmaya Mama Pashrita Putama Bhava Magata. Who is that person who has developed love for me? Vitaraga Bhaya Krodha. He has given up attachment, fear, and anger. And Srila Prabhupada speaks of fear in terms of the fear that arises from our experience of personhood on the mundane platform. So the experience of personhood on the mundane platform is vitiated with all sorts of defects, and we superimpose that those defects onto the spiritual reality. And therefore, we become afraid of entering to that reality on account of our impressions of the defects of personhood on the mundane platform. So the spiritual reality, part of that spiritual reality that manifests here in the mundane world, is the interaction with great personalities. But because of bad experience on the mundane platform, perhaps within the institution and outside of it, one superimposes the experience onto the present situation, and therefore comes to a conclusion that there aren't any more great souls. I'm surrendered to Srila Prabhupada, you know, and I'm surrendered to Narada Muni, you know, he's my favorite on the list. You know, well, I personally like Vyasadeva. I think he's the coolest, you know. Well, which one you like? Well, I like Rupa Goswami, you know. I think Rupa Nukas after all. Like this, you know, take your pick. Actually, that is not the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. The philosophy was never intended to be successful without the association of great personalities. When you read about the methodology, the Abhideya, Sarana Bhakti, then you will discover that this process was never meant to be successful without the association of sadhus. It was never intended to work without their association. So then to conclude that there are no great souls, you know, left to assist me on my progress towards ultimate beatitude is a great misconception. And it is a misconception that arises due to pride, ultimately. The pride of one's own experience, even. As it is mentioned, Gene Prayasamudapashana Mancha Eva Jivanti Samukaritam Bhavadiya Vartan. I wasn't thinking to go this, I don't know how I'm going in this direction, but Gene Prayasamudapasha, how will we develop Krishna consciousness? First thing is Gene Prayasamudapasha, one has to throw out one's confidence and his own knowledge born of his experience on the worldly platform. You understand? Means Gene Prayasam means that you've gained some experience in your sojourn on the material platform. And one is having great confidence in that experience, the knowledge that arises from that experience. And on account of that confidence, it makes it challenging to put confidence or faith in what the Acharya is saying and what the Shastra is saying. You'll find many persons are very argumentative when it comes to these agents of divinity, such as the scripture, such as the sadhus, the guru. They find themselves argumentative. Why? On the strength of their Gyane Prayasam. On the strength of their experience of this world and the knowledge gained therefrom. And therefore, they find themselves... So therefore, how do you develop bhakti? Lord Chaitanya, this was the first verse he accepted from Ramananda Roy. First thing is Gane Prayasamudapasha. That you have to throw out. That's not going to help you. Well, what will help me? Namanta Eva. You know, you got to take a subordinate position. The most difficult thing for the conditioned soul to do. To bow his head down. To acknowledge the greatness of some greater personality. Jivanti Samukaritam Bhavadeya Vartam. And you make your life hearing. Samukaritam means Bhavadeya Vartam. Hearing from the great souls of glories of Krishna. Jivanti means that is your life. That is how you survive. Just like you nourish the body by eating food. So you also nourish your Krishna consciousness. How? Jivanti Samukaritam Bhavadeya. By hearing Harikata from great souls. That is your life. That is your nourishment. And that way you can progress in bhakti. But if this pride comes, this pride of one's knowledge, the pride coming from facility, etc., then your inability to recognize great souls. Lord Shiva is saying, Shmito Hatayam, they lose all their good sense. And in this way, from there, naturally offenses start to occur. And that really unravels one's Krishna consciousness. So there's one other point here that's mentioned in the purport, or that's mentioned in the verse actually. The word is yadrichaya. Yadrichaya is a word that is often used to describe how one develops bhakti adhikar. Bhakti adhikar means what? What is the adhikar for starting the path of bhakti? Anyone knows? Bhakti shastri is in the house. We hear it. Shraddha. The adhikar for bhakti is shraddha. How do you get that shraddha? How do you get that adhikar? Hearing, okay. Hearing is association of devotees. Krishna Bhakti Janma Mula Haya Sadhu Sangha. The root cause of Krishna Bhakti is Sadhu Sangha. Janma Mula means the root cause of the development of bhakti. The development of the adhikar for bhakti is the association of sadhus. So this word Yadrichaya is often used to describe the movement of bhakti or the movement of sadhus in this world. This word Yadrichaya is used. When Krishna is discussing bhakti adhikar in the 11th canto, he says, Yadrichaya makatado jata shradas tu yapuman. Describing how one gets the adhikar. Yadrichaya, he says, somehow or other, the word Yadrichaya is translated there as, somehow or other, one gains faith and hearing my kata. Makata jata shradas tu yapuman. A person gains faith in hearing my kata. How? Somehow or other. That's the way it's translated there. Somehow or other by good fortune. And so all of our acharyas describe, what is that somehow or other? So it describes the actions of bhakti and the vessel of a bhakta. So you're not going to too many shloka resuscitation here, but in the first canto, you have Parashit Maharaj fasting till death. And at that time, he's inquiring from all the brahmanas situated there, what is the duty of one who's about to die? So they're all on different paths of yoga, karma, gyan, so they're not coming to any consensus. I think this is a very beautiful purport. So Sri Vishwanath, he says, you may not find this so exquisite or funny, but I thought it was pretty funny. Sri Vishwanath says, because they were unable to come to a consensus about what is the duty of one about to die, they all look to the path ahead of them, waiting for Shukadeva Goswami to come down. You don't find that funny? I think that's hilarious. It was like they couldn't come to any agreement. So they all simultaneously look down the path. Okay, Shukadeva Goswami, make your entrance, you know? And so there's a verse that describes the appearance of Shukadeva Goswami, and the word that is used to describe his appearance is Yadrichaya. Somehow or other, he just appeared there on the scene. Another example of this word used in relationship to the actions of bhakti through a devotee is Narada Muni, when he contacts Nanda Kuvera Manigriva. So Narada Muni, he came into that area. How did he come into that particular area where Manigriva and Nanda Kuvera were doing their naked business? How did he come at that time, that particular time he came in? Yadrichaya, somehow or other. So this word Yadrichaya is used to describe the actions of bhakti through a devotee. And it indicates the unencumbered will of bhakti or the unencumbered will of a devotee. Because Krishna is Swarat, that we already know from the Bhagavatam. So everything in Krishna's world is also having the same quality as himself. You understand? So bhakti is also Swarat. The devotee in the spirit, he is also Swarat. He has complete freedom. In fact, Krishna's freedom, in certain ways, is restricted by the freedom of his devotee. This is just a FYI, because I think it's a beautiful point. The various forms of the Supreme Lord, there are unlimited forms of the Supreme Lord, and those various forms are actually in reciprocation with the love of the devotee. In other words, Krishna's form, Krishna takes his form, if you will, or accepts a form, according to the love of his devotee. So he's bound by the love of his devotee. This was described everywhere. Sri Vishwanath and Brihabhavatamrita, you can see this. So even Krishna's form is actually a manifestation, if you will, of the bhava of his devotee. So as Krishna is independent, bhakti is independent, the devotee is independent, they have no responsibility to the environment, in other words. Their will is completely unencumbered. That is not true of the conditioned souls. The conditioned souls, those who are trying to exploit matter, their will is encumbered by, let's say, responsibility. I don't want to use the word encumbered, it's not exactly the best word in this case, but they have to answer to the environment on account of their tendency for exploiting it. You understand? And if they don't answer to the environment, that means they varshibu tapta nirnampachurnam, the devas, the rishis, the other living entities, the human beings, the forefathers, etc., then they are restricted. Their freedom is more and more restricted if they're negligent of their responsibility. Yes, this is what we call the law of karma. So when you're on the conditioned platform, one has to answer to the environment. But when you're on the platform of Krishna consciousness, full Krishna consciousness, bhava, prema, then you have unrestricted will. So the example given, Prabhupada speaking about this particular point, in the first canto, sixth chapter, is Narada Muni. That's freedom. You know, okay, today I want to go to Vaikuntha. All right, let's check out Earth Planet today. He can just move around. That is real freedom. It's completely unencumbered. And so he's not obliged to the environment in any way. Therefore, when he shows kindness to someone, it is actually mercy. That is what mercy is. Mercy means there is no obligation, and yet some kindness is shown toward you, isn't it? That is real. It is not like the devatas in the 11th canto. The devatas' mercy is contrasted with the devotee's mercy. The devatas, they have to respond to your proper execution of yagyas and so on. So their will is also not completely free. If you do yagya properly, they have to give the result. So therefore, Vasudeva, speaking to Narada Muni, glorifying Narada Muni, he said they actually have no real mercy. Because their mercy, their so-called mercy, is actually an obligation. He says, but Narada Muni, you are actually merciful. You're showing kindness to me by appearing before me, how your jircha, somehow or other. You're actually showing, why is it mercy? Because you have no obligation to me. You have no obligation to this world, and still you are showing kindness to me, yadrichaya, somehow or other. In this way, this word yadrichaya refers to persons who have no responsibility to the environment. They are completely transcendental. Understand? You catch this point? So when this word is used here in this context, it is describing the nature of pride. How yadrichaya creates the sense that I have no responsibility to the environment. I can do as I like. So in this context, it has a different connotation. Because the Kartavirya Arjuna isn't on a transcendental platform. He's actually proud. And it houses another effect of how this pride, I have no responsibility to the environment. Neither to the devas, neither to the rishis, neither to the forefathers, other living entities, and so on. I can do as I like, unrestricted. And on account of that mentality, there's transgression. And then there's consequences for such transgression. A very, perhaps, a good example of this is in a lot of wisdom traditions, before taking facility from the environment, such as water or wood, they would pray to some, wood deity in the forest, the forest deity. Or you would pray to the water god. There was always some culture like this of seeking permission of agents of divinity for the various elements and so on, in order to use that facility for their various purposes. So that was, the very nice thing about that is that you're grateful, you acknowledge that you're not the supreme controller, that you're dependent, and that you also don't overuse the facility because you have to request permission to use whatever little bit you're using. But then with the advancement of science and the advancement of impersonalism, along with the advancement of science, then people think there is no personality behind nature. And as a result, I can do as I like. There is no responsibility to them. I will do as I like. Yadrichaya. There is no responsibility to nature. Pride. And this way they transgress nature, and one has to suffer the consequences. So here we hear about Kartavirya Arjuna's pride and the various effects. In this particular verse, Yadrichaya, I have no responsibility to anyone. I can do as I like. Prabhupada translated Yadrichaya here as without any program. Without any program. What's your program, Prabhu? Yadrichaya, I do as I like. No program, And what about the morning program? Yadrichaya, No morning program, no evening program, no Hare Katha, nothing. I do as I like. All right, you do as you like. We'll see the result of that in about 2 or 3 days. Maybe a couple of weeks if you're really good at faking it. So in this way, he has to suffer the consequences of his capricious behavior. He will offend the great soul, and Parashuram will kill him on account of that. So I guess that's my class. I guess one point just for wrapping it up is that facility even is dangerous when you're not evolved in Krishna consciousness. I know devotees, we have this tendency to flaunt this Yuta Vairagya verse. Yuta Vairagya. I love Krishna consciousness. you can go into a Best Buy or something, you just say Yuta Vairagya. All right, let's see what I'm going to get. Yeah, I'll take that MP3 player. That sound around system looks. We're going to definitely use it for Krishna. It's definitely for Krishna, In this way, in the name of Yuta Vairagya, devotees who are actually not so advanced, degrade themselves. Actually, many times devotees just quote the last line, Yuddha Vairagya, but there are some lines before that also that speaks of the adhikar for such persons to engage in Yuddha Vairagya. And the very first line is usually one that can show that we're disqualified. Anansaktasya Vishayan. There is no attachment to the sense object. That's the minimum qualification for Yuddha Vairagya. So, you know, you get like the latest smartphone. A very contaminating culture. Because in a culture that is like this, one smartphone is being there, and then 6 months later, the new one comes out. So everyone goes and gets it. And devotees are affected by this also. You see it all the time. You already have a smartphone, but I got to get the latest one. iPhone 5, iPhone 6, you know. It's got this new... Do you even need that for your service? Forget that. Are you attached to the iPhone? You know, and you can see, ask devotees, all right, depart with your iPhone for 2 days. They're not even prepared to do that. So where is the question of Yuddha Vairagya? Then Yataha Upayunjata means according to its suitability for seva to Krishna. So if you require it for your services to Krishna, then you can utilize it. Everything can be used for Krishna's service, not that everything can be used. You understand? There's a subtle difference there. Did you catch that? Everything can be used for Krishna's service, not everything can be used. You see a little subtle difference. And so unless you have some seva to Krishna, then you try to use facility, then you become degraded. One becomes degraded. And then Nirbandha Krishna Sambandha, you actually have the vision that this whole jagat is meant for the enjoyment of Krishna. You can see the relationship. Jai Shishirada Gokunanaki Jai. You understand? These are some heavy qualifications for engaging. Then the last line, Yuddha Vairagya Uchite, that line that we so much covet. So this is a great danger. We can see that many devotees nowadays are very much bewildered by facility in the form of the gadgets, the gadget culture. And in the gadget culture, the whole purpose of the gadget culture, at least as it's practically experienced, is that it evinces frivolity in a jiva. It becomes quite frivolous. And because I'm God, I can do this, I can do that, just by typing something into a phone, so much facility comes up like this. And this way he cannot realize Krishna, no way he's going to. So one should at least minimally be aware of that. And one has to be honest in how he's engaging with the sense objects. Now, real surrender means if you see it as unfavorable, you have to let it go. Otherwise, how you will make advancement in Krishna? Otherwise, you're proud. Definitely in the name of Yuddha Vairagya, you're becoming most proud individual. And no question of realizing Krishna. Then you will not take any advice from any great souls because you cannot see them as great. Some great soul says, what is this nonsense? Why are you on the phone at midnight? What service you have at midnight? I was just wanting to post this last thing on Facebook. The very valuable seva I'm doing. That may be true. I'm not denying the possibility. That could be a possibility. That requires honesty on your part. But then a great soul is telling you, what is this nonsense? How you need to be taking rest, rising early for the morning program. Now because you're up on the Facebook, on the phone until hours in the night. This I was observing, so I'm speaking this way when I was in Vrindavan. Then you come, if you come to the morning program, you can't keep your head on your shoulders. Japa time, doing the Mangalarti Kirtan, you holding onto the wall. Samsardava. And then during Japa time, you finish, no question. So one has to be careful that this pride that comes from facility. And generally, the ideal here is that definitely will come up anyway, so one needs to shelter great souls in order to be successful in avoiding the consequences of such pride. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or some discussion?